very interesting two books. One I want to talk about, I want to begin a discussion of mixed society. We're not going to be able to finish it today, but I think this is a very pivotal paper. This is an article, what I'm referring to is one in English. It was published by Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, okay, who's the grandson of Rabbi Elia Henkin, who was one of the scholars of the generation through the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s. He was a contemporary, and I would say, as far as Pesach is concerned, the Bar Plukta, I mean, on the same level in disputi with Rav Moshe Feinstein. I mean, we're talking about first week. And he studied with his grandfather for several years, and he's now become a posek in Yerushalayim. He's a very knowledgeable individual, very modern. You know, his father was a professor at Columbia University. He is a modern fellow. I met him first when I was very much involved in Yavne, which is a student youth organization, and he was the head of Sire Poliyah Israel. Pai was around Pai, and the Yavne convention, the guitar, and the famous the guitar too.
I was able to open my mind this way that I found
I don't know if we'll finish it tonight, but at least we'll try to start it. This is a tshuva by Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg, who is the deals with co-ed youth groups with a particular slant. You see, the slant is very slightly different from the Megan's. Hopefully, we'll get into, right after the Chagim, we'll get into co-education and see some discussion of that. And let's continue, okay? Can I have a volunteer to read here? Would someone like to read? Yes! I got something. There's a lady in the back. She speaks funny. Era and community norms. This is about a book that, as you can see from the date, 1999, came out about a month ago. It came out about two months ago. By it's a very interesting book. Go ahead. Equality Lost.
Is there an enough justification for the relatively open interaction between men and women? First, some background. On behalf of population to women, those concerned with prayer and ritual debate what women may or may not do. So, too, questions of modesty and dress and the like deal with behavior by women themselves. The laws we will discuss today, on the other hand, are formulated as male. Some examples are the altar basic having the shell, don't converse at length with a woman. A man should always greatly distance himself from women. One may not look at women who are forbidden, and it is forbidden to walk behind a woman in the marketplace. In all of these, one allows the place of the owner's responsibility of a male to refrain from improper thoughts or actions. In practice, however, the burden in these areas has often been borne by the woman and not by the man. The reason for this is that the simplest way for men to avoid excessive conversation with women, closeness to women, and looking at women is not to have women around at all. This is the problem with keeping women out of the workplace and marketplace altogether, or at least separate men from women in place of employment transformation in more than notice of organizations and services. As we know, separate is not equal. Restricting women's physical place to the home of other private women is effectively circumscribes their role and status in society.
Which, of course, and if you have a closed society, that's not a problem. But once you're talking about an open society, that becomes the rub, right? So while halacha or tradition could say, all right, so the woman will stay at home, right? And we can couch it as kolpona, but no, pnimai, we give all sorts of good reasons, et cetera, et cetera. But where the woman's role was essentially circumscribed, it wasn't home, it wasn't such a major problem. But now when you're dealing with women in an open society, women are in the boards, women are. This really begins to ring very hollow. And it, one possibly say, well, we should turn the clock back. But others maintain that it can't be done. Continue.
All this may be true, but begs the question of halakha. But then here's the real one. Interaction between sex is happening to people in real thoughts by men about women, or to other thoughts, or in problem evidence. These are prohibitions firmly grounded in the town and Shulchan Aruch. We are allowed to choose, and we should accept with faith and love even those disabilities and restrictions which the halakha may place on us. Is there a halakha justification for the injury of men and women in our moral philosophy? Our brief discussion.
Now I should point out, I forgot to mention, this was a plenary lecture given by Rav Penkin at the latest Women Orthodoxy and Feminism Conference. Now he's talking to women on the one hand who are feminists, but on the other hand are at least verbally committed to Orthodoxy. And he's raising an issue which is clearly of interest to them.
Would be committed to others. This is the same principle employed by Rav Hakam and the others.
people. We're not making group rules. An individual that says, I'm not sexually distracted by a woman singing, and Chazal's purpose of Kol B'Sheva, as we learned it, was sexual distraction. He says, but I'm not sexually distracted. De facto, I'm not sexually distracted. That he, so this gentleman, he says Rav Aigon can go read Kriyat Shema nevertheless. The second authority?
The second authority.
But again, it's an individual, and the individual says, I'm not sexually distracted. He doesn't worry about it. Why is he looking at her? He's talking to her. He's talking.
Essentially, he's saying,
just, he starts out by saying the individual, and then he said, but that's what everybody relies on, that they're not sexually distracted.
Is that what he's saying? He's asking that they're not sexually distracted. He's saying that they control their impulses. That's a different thing.
Widely practiced in Yekki communities, that there were mixed Torah lectures, social gatherings, weddings, etc. We talked about this again last week. Let's go back to page 81, second paragraph. Which is a sexual distraction problem, which may be set, may have been set aside because we're used to seeing with their hair recovered. There is a second problem of farago she'isha, which we learned that it's a separate obligation for a woman to cover her hair, which that depends how you learn. We saw it somewhere, it's a device, somewhere, it's a custom, but whatever the source is, and each of them has its own halakhic ramifications. The Aruch HaShulchan wasn't coming to permit a woman to uncover her hair. He says, but the ramification of what happens if she uncovers her hair, doesn't prevent Kriya Shema because there's no sexual distraction. So we can guess.
That's
not what I'm saying. That's exactly what he's saying.
The
Shulchan Aruch says because of sexual distraction, because of sexual distraction, could not say Kriya Shema because it's sexually distracting. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and he's not alone in this. When we discussed the Shia, we showed that there are many Rishonim who say this and Achronim, and it's one school. It's not the school that teaches in Beis Yaakov, but there is one halachic school. And this school maintains that as far as sexual distraction, what is normative in society can neutralize sexual distraction. And therefore,
but maybe no at one point,
that could be true. And those who hold the ruling in school have to have their hand on the pulse. But it doesn't mean that it's permissible. It doesn't mean that a woman can then go one step further. The question is, what's being done? What are men? What are sexual distraction? Not sexual distraction. This is, look, talking about how this thing evolved. no question of the women who did not follow and then covered their hair were no good things. And they acted improperly. The question is, what happened as we move into the early 1900s, where 80% of religious women are not covering their hair and covered? Is that now sexually harassed, sexually distracted, or not sexually distracted? I'm asking whether I wanted to do it. But if it was a sexually distracted, not sexually. So is there a kashukha? It's not sexually distracted.
But if it wasn't written, why is it all of a sudden not just because it's not?
Because it's not sexually distracted. Because we're used to seeing it.
But that's the problem, you get used to.
Excuse me, you're talking about how much it's in policy.
I'm just saying, you talk about
the linear school maintains that if it's normative and people know it's sexually distracted. I'll be happy to discuss it. No, but I can't. I have to. Provocatively dressed. Okay? What is his position? What is he supposed to do? Turn away, close his eyes. Now, does that mean he shouldn't walk down the street? Because it might lead to him seeing something. The answer is no. It just says we don't live our lives that way. We've trained ourselves well enough so that you will know to close your eyes, turn away. The question most of us have to ask for is, and these are not easy problems. How do you deal with a television? One person would say, don't bring the television away. It's an avodah zarah, it steals time. And it's all true. And I said, it's a waste of time, and it can lead to sexuality and violence, and it's all true. The question is, but television has other benefits. It has benefits of leisure, of unwinding, of education, of news, etc., etc. The question is, can we train ourselves and our children to, when they see problematic thing to turn off the TV. Now I must tell you that I'm always astounded that I am sitting watching TV and then the kids will say, oh, turn off TV. I'm very happy with them. But it's not always easy. Not every child makes that distinction, not every adult makes that distinction. And it's a very problematic situation. So you have to weigh the way. But television is something I can decide to bring in. Going on the street, interacting in an open society is not something I can choose. The question is, do I choose to live in a closed community where I can control it? People come in and people go out, etc., etc., like Meir Sharon. That's one approach. The other approach is most of us choose not to live that way. And then we have to, but we have to be honest to ourselves and to halacha. So what do we do? Now when we get to the CDH, you'll see he takes a slightly different tact. And his tact is, it'll be a tact. Now let me explain, make something very clear. What Rav Henkin is saying is that what we're doing is a lachatchila. It's not a concession as we have no choice and therefore we gotta make the best of the situation. He's saying, as modern Orthodox Jews, we claim there's no problem with an open society within limits, because it's not sexually distracted. And Chazal were talking about more closed societies, and men rarely saw women, and women rarely saw men, and therefore the meeting of the two led to sexual distraction. Let's continue a little bit further. But it's very clear. But open society, let's not fool ourselves. An open society monogamy is problematic, and we shouldn't fool ourselves. Okay. And here we need some words of caution. Yeah, we said second.
Second, frequency of familiarity
is often anticipated
practice of certain couples among many. There are
also
some ways to get. Yeah. Learn.
I think it's a wonderful piece. And you should only know that this lecture, not surprisingly, was attacked in the Jewish Observer, Liberty of Israel, by our friend Levi Reisman, who wrote the article, the other two pieces that I read on and he attacked him in the second piece, he attacked him on this lecture. And there's a back and forth, and what our husband says, you're on a post segment, and Maggie Reisman says, you're not talking about either. And it goes back and forth. It wasn't a very pleasant conversation, and I have, it goes back and forth once in the Jewish Observer, and I have the next back and forth correspondence with both of them. They keep telling me. Anyway, so.
What
variety? Yeah, a variety of his interpretation. The Marshall and the interpretation of the Bush. I mean, it's really not going to happen. I think that there's no question that Rav Henkin is right in his understanding of where modern authority stands and how it understands a mixed society. And understand a mixed society as a particular situation. Okay, it doesn't mean that we're in favor of mixing in every aspect. Although some of the writing in the Meimad position, if you read some of their writings, or Nemanei Torah Vaveda, it does go in that direction. There's an interesting book called Chevra Mevedet, put out by Nemanei Torah Vaveda, which stems from the Kibbutz of the T, where they view a totally mixed society as an ideal. Maybe after the summer, over the summer, I'll look around all that stuff, and I'll report back and forth. But generally speaking, I think that his position, at least, is the current Hakrina situation. And those things, in a normal society where we permit it, where it's considered commonplace and it's not considered licentious, there's no problem about having a mixed society. And it's not Hakrina situation. Okay, I should also mention that in the discussion, we already mentioned this, Uziel, okay, Israeli chief rabbi, but Uziel said, Mordechai Uziel, in his discussion about women serving in Knesset, and his tshuva on women being voting and being elected to the public office, one of the criticisms raised was that it's improper that many women meet together. And he says, it's not the Shem Shemayim, it's an honor, it's a distinguished situation, it's not a loop situation. Again, it's why should we consider it an improper situation? Okay. The next tshuva that we're going to read, we have about a half an hour to read, and I'll read it, is a tshuva written by Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg. Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg is the rabbi in Montreal. He's a post-aid in France after World War II. This tshuva was written in the early 50s, to the best of my knowledge. And there's a group called Yeshuun. Yeshuun, the best as I can describe it, is equivalent to Bnei Akiva. It's an organization which is co-ed, and in France at this time, the reconstruction of the Jewish community was not coming easy. The kids went to public schools, and in France, it wasn't a different situation, the public schools were all on Shabbos. And for many of these kids, the only contact with religious Judaism was from Yeshua. And the Haredi community that was transplanted from all over the world, part of it which came to France, went on an attack against Yeshua. How do you permit? They want to go together. How do you permit? They're singing together. And this was a response written based on this attack. Community against Yeshua. That's right. Mechtava miyom chet tevei shana zo. Metaer kvot alato et derech hachinuch shemagun Yeshua shemosad ben Tzofat v'nika shal kamashan. He described the educational techniques of Yeshua that was set up in France several years ago. Yeshua mitnahed al pishitat hachinuch shenahu b'medinat Ashkenaz v'nei Chulban, which is based on the educational techniques that was commonplace in Germany just before the destruction of the Holocaust. A well-known Haredi group has attacked the functioning of Yeshuun. Asher lefi datak ein hederach hazot lefi ruach yadut, kfi shechilulu avoteinu v'avoteinu kedushim. This does not follow the Jewish format, which has been transmitted to us over generations. והערעורים הם שתיים. קריטיסיזם הם שתיים. ערעור נגד צורת הארגון הזה, שהוא משתף בנים ובנות בעבודה, הוא מעבידם באגודה אחד. וערעור נגד המנהג של הארגון, שבנים ובנות מזמרים יחד זמירות של שבת, או זמירות קודש אחרות. That the boys and girls sing together. וכבוד תורתו שואל בשם הוועידה התורנית של ארגון יהושע. You're asking behalf the Torah Committee of יהושע. אם ניתן להם להמשיך את פעולתם בדרך שעברו אותו עד כה. They continue as they've been doing it now. או צריכים להפסיק פעולתם ולגרום לפירוד הארגון. Should they break up the organization? Should they break off from the organization? That should they essentially break off from Yeshua? Yeshua may, for the less observant, may continue the way. So these are more observant, and they'll break off in their position. Vashiv al rishon rishon barachon achon. By the way, I should point to you that this question is came up again in Great King. There was a group that was called Ariel Yeshua. Fashion broke off from their friend, I think this is the part of the Akiva, but they broke off several of their own chapters, and they're essentially not correct for education. And you'll see that the arguments that are discussed, and I'll come back to Ariel, because the people who broke off from Ariel were aware of this tshuva. And you'll see a lot of other tshuvas don't break off. But Ariel, they did break off. What were their arguments for breaking off in light of the Sweeney Ancients arguments? Vashim arishon rishon barachon achon, iroleh haridim vaday yishlom on this month. This is the criticism is not unfounded. Sharei ha-bidin Torah tzarich tafrish anashim anashim kidei shlo yivrein v'oli dey kalon rosh. Because we know that, okay, we know that there was a separation, it was by the Sharei Bach, and also by the Rigyonim, they had a called the Rambam essentially refers to some sort of tzniut police. I mean, basically, they would go in the parks and check that they weren't companies. You know, seriously, that's how Rambam describes it. And they would check. They would check the situation. What? Now go down, skip down to the back, the end of that paragraph. Okay? At the end of the second, that paragraph, the line just before the end, by Yehor HaShani, Vada Chetzonek. The girls and boys singing together is also a problem. I'll be mashing them out the month of the Chodav Chabdal Ramalach, Kol Bisha Elva. The singing voice of a woman is sexually distracting. You'll say, Shazmir al Shabbat is soon as a man, but when you don't know. You'll be proud of the boys and girls to sing together. Mikol Makor, Kishinish Alti Azem in an Ale Yishuvun, Horiti Lem Shem Shivat Kulatam Api Yedel. Nevertheless, I told them to continue the way that they're doing with the co-ed organization and the boys and the girls singing together. Sharei tzaddikim gedolim, v'chol chavonotam adar l'shem shemayim, la'tzil et noar misakanat atmiya, because the people, these gedolei ashkenaz, who were the educational forefathers of this approach of co-ed organization and the girls singing, were tzaddikim gedolim. I mean, they knew the halacha. And their decision to go this route was l'shem shemayim, was heavenly guided. To save the children from assimilation, she pushed up Ashkenaz mi b'em, which had spread throughout Germany in their day. They were able to save lives of the Jews, lives of spiritual, not the neshamot. V'tzlichu l'kavan l'tavar yirat shemayim, they would have been close. And fear of heaven. They knew how to educate. They succeeded when others failed in this wave of assimilation to raise generation after generation of people who are fearful of from Jews. They were both from and had secular education. Which did not occur in Poland and Lithuania. They were, as soon as they, in these communities, when they were open to secular education, they were lost. And the wave my father would tell me that during World War II, I mean, they were getting reports on Jaguar, around the World War I, how guys would leave Yeshiva into the communist revolution. Hundreds and thousands of boys would just go from Yeshiva into the communist revolution. And secular and the Haskalah movement and the secular had a tremendous destruction. And you don't start from a community that's maybe 90% from, down to a community that's 30% from, with that 60% erosion. It happened. It happened during this period, during the World War. The Fischeloyad, why did Lithuania and Poland not succeed where Germany did? The Fischeloyadu, the Chonenet Achinocha, people didn't know how to switch gears and change the education for the needs of the time. Yadu Amashu Sipir Gondar, Yisrael Salantuza, Zetzah. Yisrael Salantuza, the great Muslim leader, Vishuvami Ashkenaz. It's reported that when he came back from Ashkenaz and reported Visham Yizdamen Im Hagon Hatzadik of Yisrael Hilusheimer, remember Rabbi Hilusheimer, one of the leaders of German Jewry, V'ra'a Oto Marce Shiyoreh B'Tanakh V'Shukhar Aruch. Rabbi Hilusheimer was giving Shiyor in Tanakh and Shukhar Aruch Lefnei Mashim Tzivot Tulot. He was giving the young woman teaching Shukhar Aruch. V'Kol Amar, I am my share in heaven with Israel Kalusheimer. Fatamu Mishum Eit Lasot Lashem Hefer Torotecha. Commotion in the Va'er Lahala. Okay, now this is. Okay, now what is he saying? What is Eit Lasot Lashem Hefer Torotecha? This verse is used throughout the Talmud to explain extreme situations, emergency situations, where laws have to be abrogated in order to save Judaism. Eit lasot l'Hashem, when there's a moment, this is how the person, the Gemara understands the first, a time to act for God, and favor Torah and Tefer, violate the Torah. Now, generally speaking, this can only be invoked by somebody, or by a recognized Navi, for instance. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, Eliyahu and Mount Carmel, he had the Nevi'im, and he did what the Karbanot, and how do you bring the Karban? There was a Beit HaMikdash, you can't bring a Karban outside your Shalai. It's an example of a recognized Navi invoking Olat Sha'ah. Okay, there's a law, the Torah Shebechtav, Yitavishen, then Amur Ba'peh, Yom Shebechtav, Yisham Yom Shebechtav. This general rule, the oral tradition could not be written down. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote down the Mishnah, and Rabbi Rabashi wrote down the Gemara. How did they do such a thing? They saw that if they didn't write it down, the oral tradition would be lost. And the situation of Eit Lasot Hashem, and they would go now, the general rule, Horat Sha'ah, means what? An edict, a ruling for the hour. And yet we continue to write down the Mishnah and Gemara for over 2,000 years. How do we do it? Because the situation that occurred that required the first writing down stay. We lose it. In any case, so he essentially, what is his attitude? Essentially is, if we don't have Yeshua functioning in the way it is functioning, we will lose these kids to Yeshua. And therefore we have to invoke that which is clearly against Jewish tradition. This is not Henkin, right? This is not Henkin. Henkin would say what? Ketfakit chiyuva, right? White geese, right? Or Henkin would say, this organization, we can have the men and women together. I mean, that's not sexually distracting. They're used to having the men and women together, right?
No, I don't think he would say that.
He wouldn't say that.
Right. It's not doing the
at the workplace where it's needed for men and women to be together. It's talking about where the purpose is primarily social. So why would you say it's like a man? I don't think he would need with
your, your point is well taken. I think it's clear from that Rav Henkin, you're right in interpreting Rav Henkin, but I could see someone go one step further. At least it wouldn't be a horat sha'ah. At least Rav Henkin, there is room to argue that if it's not a licentious meeting, it's done it for educational purposes. They're saying zmirot together, they're doing religious pulot together. One could argue that there is good halakha grounds under which to permit it. The Sri Le'esh, at least to what we've read until now, does not say that. The Sri Le'esh seems to imply we have to accept this break in tradition. You'll see a little bit later that he waffles. It's not as bad of a break as you think. It goes on. It's going to be going to lessen the element of Fehu Tovatech. Essentially, it's a break with the spirit of tradition than with the letter of tradition. It's a little different. Nowhere does the halacha say, he'll go into it. Okay? But based on the premise that Rav Henkin is, there'd be a greater grounds to permit it. But I think you're right. I think you clearly say it's a much more dangerous situation with kids. Oh, you're right, with kids, about the age of the kids. But right, it's not exactly the same. I accept. Okay. Vihine. Okay? Well, Vihine Rabbanei Polin Bungari. Shin Galdu Lumdina Tzofat. Rohim et Aminadim Achadashim Shiniku Charedei Tzofat. These Charedim come from Poland, they from France. They find their way to France. They don't know what's been going on in France. The only model they have is the model they saw in Poland later. Right? Apishitat Gonei, they don't know Shinhigu Charedei Tzofat, the frumies of Tzofat. Apishitat Gonei, the Tzadikei Ashkenaz. And what do these new immigrants say? Himochim Negit Dambozen, they object vehemently. The Fisher Minhagim, Eilu Hem Negit Dinim for a ship at Mogosom, it would seem against Open Alachot and Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. Ulam, Eina Rabbeinu Anav Bekim at Mea Chaim Asorim B'medina Tzofat. ואינם רואים את המצב הירוד של היהדות שם. להפך, בדרישותיהם, with their insistence and their demands, הם מעמידים מסכנה בפחות של אירון זה. They put into danger the development of this positive organization, אשר כבר הצליח הרבה פעולות הלכנת, which has been extremely successful. כמו שתהיה כפות תורתו במכתבו, וכל דבריו הם כנים מעמידים, and the success of the organization, the importance is clear, the Zayadu, everybody knows about this. Now, in section Bet, okay, it's a very long section. He goes on, it's written with tremendous sensitivity and pathos. He goes on to explain what it was like in the World War II. He says that these kids, anybody who wanted to be traditional in France, in the 40s and 50s, felt alone. He felt totally isolated. The secular world, the non-Jewish world, was pressing upon him. He felt the Jewish tradition was archaic. It wasn't fun. It was something that went back to the Middle Ages. And they were alone. And all the concept of this organization, Yeshurun, brought boys and girls together, and Judaism could be kef, and it could be happy, and it could even get fun in being from. And he said that it's instilled within their hearts that being religious can in fact be a positive thing, a fun thing, and strengthen their spirits, and to create an environment which was traditional, full, etc., and create a love of Torah. Okay, that's what he discusses in Bet. Okay, and I don't have time to go through it. If you have a chance, take home. It's easy Hebrew, and it's a very, very beautiful. But you see his pathos, his understanding of the situation of the time, and the psychology, the assimilation psychology, that Judaism was viewed as a burden rather than as something that is positive and inspiring. I think he died in the early 60s. Okay? But he lived, he was rabbi 30, 40, 50. These tshuvot, Most famous Jews were written in the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
That's the beginning.
Sure.
Look, the same thing was true about Bnei Akiva. And I read some early reports. And there were booklets in Scania happening. People started. It was a very, very similar situation. It was going on here in Israel with the Chilonim literally oppressing religious Jews and the struggle for education and the framework to hold these kids from a lot of the same sort of stuff. Alright, let's go to the beginning. What's the problem? The Fintel, Tfu Tavatoi, Yoshvim, אבל אם הם יושבים, אוקיי, ואתם תגידו, אבל אם הם יושבים, אבל אם הם יושבים על הספסל אחד יחד, אלא שהם שרים שירי קודש, פסוקי תנ"ך, זה לא, it's called education, it says, but there is a separation that they all sit on the same bench together. במחנה הקיץ או במחנה החורף, חילונים בבתים מיוחדים, they sleep in separate bunks, גברים בבית אחד, בחורות בבית אחר, בבית אחר. וגם השיעורים לומדים הבנים לבד והבנות לבד, והמדריכים שנראה שמיים, ודאי מצוות, ורודי מדריכים, the counselors are careful, מקבלים אחריות שלא יתעלו הבנים והבנות יחד, יש לנו guys and girls שהוא ארוך, alone together, הם לא באופן מאורגן בשקעת רק המדריכים, they watch out for צניעות. Okay, then, in the next couple of lines, he goes to discuss the establishment of the Mechitza. To separate the men and the women, now he goes on 3, 6, line 7. Okay, line 7. V'rak, end of line 7. You see where it says V'rak? V'rak bevet ha-knesset yesh takana kiduma lasot mechitzot gvorot shelo yuchlu lestakel b'shum tefillah o kriyat shma should be kriyat ha-torah o kriyat shma shasu mitam erva. When he means mechitzot gvorot, he means not around 3 feet, 5 feet. Kamu gvoa bevochav dalek, amat alav shetefach megulev, achein seher bishar elva, amal basefot, shlom ashut, kagol bishar hakneset kalav lechupa, o bishar nulim mudrashot, lo hikpivu meolam nesot mechitzot. There never were mechitzot in gatherings outside of shul. His opinion that the takana was only in the Beit HaMikdash or in shul. But outside of shuls in the very much like Ramosh Mar, if it's a gathering like a chuppah or a drasha or a speech, it says they never required mechitzot. The rak medaktikim shelo yeshvu anashim v'nashim yachad. But he does require a second seat. But lo yitavu ze im ze. Okay? Let's get down to Dalit. Okay? Dalit. Umashin odim lashir. So he says, the fact that the boys and girls are in the same room together, that's only as far as he's concerned. Some of them are separate seating, that's all right. But they never required their kids. Well, mashin al gim nashir lezamer zmeot kodesh banim ubanot yachad, from nish'alti al zem im anigei machanot, ve'ishafti lehem, that was asked about the boys and girls singing together. And I responded, ki bevoi legerlim, ve'iti bevet ha-charedim, I went to the religious Jews, מזמרים אנשים ונשים יחד זמירות קודש בשבת. So many women sing together at the table זמירות. והשתמרתי בנהן הזה, I was astounded by this. שהוא אשת איש או נידע, אסור אפילו שלא בשקר את שמה. To listen to one who's forbidden to sleep with is forbidden even not in קריאת שמע, no sexual distraction. And even the non-married women, since they don't go to the mikvah, so there's a problem with nidah. Vulam, then he goes into some discussion which I cut out. Vulam the dina in Akimina doesn't make the difference, even at Dulode and Mechaska Nida, Kamoshin Katab Nishkabua, and Ken Asula Ulam the Shmoko Zelosh of Dulode. ומטעם זה הרעמתי נגד מנהם זה שנהגו חרדי אשכנז. I was upset, I went to these homes and then men and women are singing together. ואולם אחרי חקירה, ובלי שאתה check this matter out, למעלי, כי הגאון הצדיק רבי עזריאל הילדסהיים מזל, וגם הגאון שמשון רפאל הירש, זל בפרנקפורט, על נהר מים, הטילו בזניבות קודש לזמר יחד. These were from Jews, the Israel Hillsheimer and the Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. They permitted it. V'tam mishum dekrei tvei kolei lo mishtamei, because two voices are not heard. There's a problem is listening to a woman enjoying her voice. Because if you're singing together, it's two voices and mixing together, it's not a lot of problem. V'ki mishum zaman yachad, ein chshash isur. I wasn't happy with it yet. I didn't settle. The Kipasti, and I was trying to find some earlier sources. Umatzati b'stechem, one of the later Talmudic encyclopedias called b'stechem, the Merach of Kol, shevi b'shem Rav Sfaradi, latir zmirot kodesh al anashim v'anashim yachad, v'samach, usmach, that he permitted singing zmirot kodesh. Now I'm talking about the nature of what's being sung. Not who's singing. So the Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch was in the interview, but then since they're singing together, okay? Therefore, it's not a problem. But this posek permitted because the nature of what's being sung, that is, it's not a love song, but rather zmirot kodesh. V'smach matzati l'dvara b'mikcha mefurash b'shoftim, posek said shoftim, v'tashav dvora, Ubar ben Avinan, they say it together. That's not such a great group, because only they la 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 it. They say, okay. Doesn't that say they say, but okay. Vacha kach, ra'iti muvah b'shem achidah, chayim dover azulah, one of the major pillars of Psak, said, b'sifro dvash nufi marev kuf, she'b'sha'at ha'shra'at shechina, when the shechina rests, shayim l'isha l'shorer, v'olekim l'shorerum, ועל כל פנים ישמח למה שריבי בסטרחם על הנאו שבשירי קודש לא חשינו לראו. You don't worry about it. Okay. Let's look at the last paragraph. I'm sorry, it's okay. Mikol Mokom. Okay, the last line here. מכל מקום ישנו מרכיבים שם מזמרים, זמירות קודש. גם כן מתכוונים לשם שמיים, ולוס לס לעניין הזה. Since the people are singing, their intentions are for heaven, כדי לעורר רגשות דתיים אצל הבנות, ולקחת בליבם חיבה לקודשי ישראל, יש לסמוך המגלים מקומים, rely on the lenient positions, ואין במסכת יום הוא עשה מקטד הבנות גבי שמעון הצדיק, and verse 8 lasot lashem upeirush rashi sham ugelasach tmur ayudal et ita shiitivu lichtov divrei torah shebalpeh. Why they permit to write down torah shebalpeh, your own tradition? Mishum 8 lasot lashem efeo torotecha, because it's horat sha'ar. Vamru, mutav, and what do they say? Mutav teyakel otecha, it's better that one word of the letter of the Torah should be uprooted, velo tishakach torah misandru, and save the rest of the Torah. Now, again, he's invoked this idea that even though it's problematic, he said, but it's we're in troubling times, so we have to make some dispensation. בשביל שהוא יודע כי יש כאן עת לעשות. Because he thinks there's an עת לעשות, he can go around making your עת לעשות. Now, I should point out here that if you look in the encyclopedia, it's the encyclopedia from the Greek. Under the words, הוראת שעה, it's one of the topics discussed in great length. It turns out that there is somehow that only Sanhedrin could invoke. There are those who maintain that scholarly generation can invoke Hodat Shah, or certainly make it in the generation. It doesn't have to be Sanhedrin. It has to be the recognized Bedin or authority of the generation. So he says he doesn't want to invoke it, right? He wants to use Chazal. That's one position. But that's coming. So what does he do? But he's invoking it left and right, right? He says, Rabbi Zul, everybody's invoking it. Vulam, when they don't, she ain't isogamer. It's not a clear prohibition. ופקיש כאן מנהג חסידות ומנהג צניות אפשר לדרוש סמוכים ולהתיר בהרצפת שכבר הגיע מצב הידוד עד משבר ואם לא נאחוז באמצעים חינוכיים מנוסים ומותרים בהצלחה we don't take these successful approaches כאותם של ארגון עזרה באשכנז וארגון ישורון בצרפת עתיד התואר חס ושום שבפי שקף מסורת Now, what he's essentially saying is that the fact that he points out as far as having boys and girls, men and women in the room together, is not proficient. He says the mechitza was only for under the Beit Knesset, so there's no requirement for a mechitza if it's a Shem Shemayim. We have dangers with it, like it's mixing, sexual distraction. He says, but you know. Situation. It's not clearly on the books. It's not the books say it's usher to have the situation if it's done properly in the Shem Shemayim. It's certainly against Jewish tradition. It certainly was against what was normative in Poland and Lithuania, certainly in the rest of Europe in the 1700s. In the 1800s, already Ashkenaz, because of the assimilation, a lot of the secularization that was going on, that's called, they talk to Halika Chibun, the secularization was going on. Adjustments for the new situation. And he feels it, but it's clearly, he's doing it as a defensive act, not because he believes that that's really the way it should go. That's what we'll give me another 5 minutes and we'll finish it up. ולכן, הוריתי למנהיגי הארגון ישורון שיכולים לסמוך גדולי אשכנז, שבקיים בחוכמת חינוך וידוע רוח הבנות הדור, שהתחנכו בבתי ספר ולמדו לשונות ומדעים. He says, the Ashkenaz, they knew how to deal with Jewish women. He says, you deal with Jewish women, aren't you? These are not bad for Jewish women anymore. These are highly educated. שיש להם רגש של כבוד עצמאי, והן רואות אלבון ודחיפה לחוץ למחנה באיסור שעושים עליהם להשתתף בזמירות. But if you tell them, they can't sing zmira. ולכן היטיבו לנשים להשתתף בזמירות, and therefore they said, yes, we rely on the union position to make them sing zmira. ואנו רואים ויודעים כי גדולי אשכנז הצליחו בחינוך הבנות ונשים צעירות יותר מגדולי שרצות. We know they succeeded in raising generations of from Jews. ובאשכנז ראינו נשים מלומדות ובעלת דרגה השכלה גבוהה שהיו חרדות על דת ישראל ומקיימות המצוות והתרבות. These were highly educated women and they were very frugal. They kept Torah with a brain. ומשום כך, אין אני מרהיב לעשות מה שהתירו הם, I wouldn't even think of prohibiting that which they permitted. וגם דן למר אית לעשות מה שהם הפרו את זה. שבארצות כמו אשכנז וצרפת הנשים מרגישות עלבון ופגיעה בזכויותיהם, הם נאסור עליהם להשתתף בעונג שבת על ידי זמירות כאלה. יותר מכן איזה זמירות, הם נפלאים. ודבר זה מובן למי שמכיר טבע הנשים במדינות הבאות, you know what's going on, the spirit of the women out in these countries, you know what I'm saying is true. ואיסור יכול לגרום לריחוק הנשים מן הדת, they will send them away from that, חלילה פרשת. About separate education. There's been a lot of studies done in the second verse about separate education. We'll talk about that. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we deliver the verdict there? The problem is that in the separation, there are no provisions made for controlled mixing. For controlled mixing. One of the interesting things about Stern and YU. Right. You arrange, when you separate, you have to arrange for situations in where the sexes meet in a controlled fashion, in a proper situation. I used to have these girls, I don't know what's going on now, but there used to be situations that come to place together, and it was done in a very positive direction. Part of the problem was the feeling of anti, and I don't, not having been an educator in such a situation, I know this is a tricky business. It's not an easy task. And I know that a lot of this forced separation, I think part of the problem is that, and this is a banner that I've been carrying for a long time, you want to insist the girls sneal, or not sneal, like the way they insist on sneal, and like, it's one thing. But also teach the girl, the women, that there are other options. There are other aligned positions. Don't feel locked into one position, which many of them can't accept. As in, we experience.
I don't think it's only the girls.
Oh, I'm sure it's the girls. No, yeah, you're right.
And
you're right too. But it has to be done. It has to be done right and properly. And it's not that the Russian. Look, let me just tell you a very interesting story. My cousin Shale is on the board of directors of the Chicago Yeshiva. And there the Russian Yeshiva made a very modern story. Clearly right of center, right? And who's clearly she world, but he's a man who has his head screwed up. Really very modern, very modern. And they're having trouble
with
what?
Very modern.
No, you'll see in a second. You'll be always fine. I didn't mean to be good on the toilet. It's not my energy. When he was asked how to build up yeshiva, he told them, I want you to build a girls' school. Build a school for women. He said, I know what these boys are interested in. Who are Yeshiva guys? But they want to get married, they're interested in their family. They'll go to New York because they'll have Shidduch there. You have a women's school here on a high level, educated women, you'll have Shidduch for the boys here who come to Chicago Yeshiva. Doing it in the proper way, having done it in a controlled fashion. That just finished this, okay? We'll talk about it. The problem of how to educate. I don't want to go into educational theory because I'm not a specialist in it. But I don't deny that some of the feelings that you had and other women had is a problem. And it's some educational policies in the majority. You can't always cater for the individual, but that's problematic. Okay, one second. He says, when he says that, in the next paragraph, he says, I don't want you to force the girls to sing. The girls want to be mocking, they don't want to sing. Don't force them to sing. Then he goes on, the next paragraph. Amnam, mevin ani l'ruach tzad ha-charidim ha-rananim negid yishurun, shehem ro'im b'minagav stiya min ha-minagim shehugulu b'hem b'ol chayem b'Poland and Hungary. They see it as a radical departure from what they're used to seeing in Poland and Hungary. אולם הם מעלימים עיניהם מן המצב בצרפת כמו שלי. But they, in doing so, are not aware of what's going on in Poland and in France. ליהודים חרדים ניסו לישן אין שום השפעה על המלאך החיים. They will have no influence on what's going on in life here in France. הם מורכזים בתוך חוגם המצומצם. They will be cloistered in their own group. ואין הם שמים את ליבם לתהליך התבוננות העושה שמות גם בקרב החרדים. Says they're not completely aware of what's going on, or what they will do will have minimal effect of what's going on and turn back the tide of assimilation that's affecting even religious office. Because after all, in France, even the religious send their kids to the public schools. There was a situation where they sent the public schools, then they had yeshiva day afterwards. Second education they got in the public schools. Everybody was required to send their kid to public school. ואין להם שום ערובה שיהיה בכוחם לעמוד נגד הזרם השוטף ומחלף. They have no guarantees that they'll be able to turn back the tide of assimilation that destroys. הם בורחים בעצמם, they trust in themselves, והם מדוגים דרגת מחר לעתידם הדתי של ירדן. We're not going to take care of the future. He says, Yishuvun will take care of the future. Okay, let's stop there. Anybody wishes them well and so on. I think that, just to mention, just the one last word, Ariel, when they broke off, and they broke off with the blessing of Rav Aviner, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Aviner writes, when he deals with this three anxious children, he says, but you see himself, that he claims that you have to worry about, that he's Rabbi Riel was worried about, was worried about an assimilation situation. Is Baruch Hashem in Israel now? We have a situation where the religious communities are strong. There's no problem with assimilation. There's no, and he goes on, he says, and this group of kids want more, he says, you should give them the opportunity to do more, and it's not the same situation it was before. The critics of Rav Aviner said that he's not like that the problem of influence of the Chilonim world upon the religious is extremely problematic. And by their breaking off, they took many of the stronger forces of Bnei Akiva and cycled them into a different direction, and thereby weakened the organization, the Bnei Akiva organization, when they could have brought all of Bnei Akiva with them, made them be more mock, they'd be made, et cetera, et cetera. There's a question of how you deal with the situation, but the discussion of how to run Bnei Akiva is based on this truth. Because if you understand what was written of Yaakov Weinberg's guiding motivation. Anyway, we'll continue after Chagim. It's been a pleasure teaching you. And look forward to seeing you in the Kabbalah.